In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Scripture is a book about death. Everyone dies. Why? Because on the day you eat of it, you will surely die. It's the ultimate proof of man's disobedience. It's the ultimate proof that man is a sinner. He dies. And everyone knows it. And that should be enough to wake people up to ask those big life questions. Why am I here? Who put me here? And maybe chief among all, whom am I accountable to? We're more than animals. So it doesn't feel right to die. We're more than a bunch of cells floating around on the pale blue dot adrift somewhere in the heavens. We were created for life. And so we scurry around trying to sustain that life the best that we can. Eat this, don't eat that. Drink this, don't drink that. Take that vitamin, do this exercise, and now it's changed to that exercise. Have this type of lifestyle, live here, don't live there. And all those things are fine. We are to use our reason and our common sense. Buckle your seatbelt, and so forth. But all of these new insights over the past decade, which are seemingly ever-changing, never seem to change that word of God, 70, maybe 80 years if we have the strength. It doesn't matter where you are from, what time period you have lived in, or what you have done with your life. All men die. In the fifth chapter of Genesis, that already is driven into our heads. Men were living impressive lives, 930 years, 807 years, 917 years. But the refrain persists. And he died, and he died, and he died. We're fascinated with the length of those lives. Imagine how much they could have done. Imagine the collective wisdom that could be garnered. We wonder what they experienced, the innovations they came up with. How far did they actually travel in this world? Well, Scripture mentions not one word of any accomplishment whatsoever. Because not one of their accomplishments, innovations, experiences, or travels could stop or silence that drumbeat. And he died. In the subsequent chapters of Genesis, that beat slows down slightly. We begin to hear a few details about people's lives and what they are doing. Noah is called a preacher of righteousness. His faith certainly rivaled that of Abraham. He lived 500 years prior to the flood. It took him 100 years to build the ark, and then he's on the ark for just over 1 year. He certainly feared and loved God and trusted in him to take care of him. But then after the flood, Noah gets drunk, passes out, and lies exposed in his tent. He too must die. He could not bring about a new creation. He could not get rid of death forever and establish life. Then there's Abraham, the father of many nations, a man who leaves his own country and believes the promise of God that in the promised land of Canaan, God will save. It is his homeland. But twice he says that his wife is his sister. And then he takes Hagar to be his wife. So he too dies and is buried. He could not establish the great kingdom of God. Then there's David, a man after God's own heart. If anyone in all of the scriptures could establish a glorious kingdom filled with life and the rule of God, it would be he. But you know of his sin with Bathsheba, Uriah. So he too died and is buried. He could not conquer death. He could not establish life. And I didn't even mention the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hittites, the Hevites, the Jebusites, the Philistines. All died. Plagues and famine and war. God's beloved people, chosen out of every nation, Israel, they too died. And Judah, as pious and devout as they may have been, also died. So Scripture is a book about death, because all that we have read about them, they all died. No, not one of their pious thoughts, not one of their pious devout actions could silence that drumbeat. And he died. And so this young man at Nain just went the way of all men. It's expected. For if piety cannot stop death, then why would youth be able to stop death? It's foolish to think that just because we haven't reached a certain age, death will leave us alone. So the bearers do what the bearers have done many times before. They know the path well, for they know that their city of Nain is a place of death. Death is always the victor. Another woman is weeping, this time a widow. She weeps over her only begotten son, who is being carried out to the grave. For that refrain continues, and he died. But another only begotten son heard that drumbeat. Another man is moved with compassion for this woman who has no one else left. His heart goes out to her. The people around her are silent, for they are powerless to stop death. The words that they offer are nothing but shallow platitudes. They mean well, but they know that there is nothing they can do to actually change the outcome and to make this woman whole. It's nice that they care, but that's really all it is, just nice. Yet moved with compassion, this man brings a little glimpse of the last day to the present. This is why he came. He came to do what every man has failed to do. Yes, he came to take away sin, but he takes away sin not simply so that you might be perfect, but so that you might live forever. So where all others are silent, he speaks. Not shallow platitudes, but he speaks a new word. Young man, I say to you, arise. And his human voice silenced that drumbeat. And the dead man sat up. Dead men don't sit up. Dead men don't speak. But this man did. Because the only begotten Son of the Virgin has come to end death. In some tiny, insignificant town, death has finally been silenced. But only for one man. And only for one time. What about the rest of men who have lived throughout Scripture? What about us who live nowhere near the town of Nain, who still live underneath this curse, and he died, and he died, and he died? Scripture is a book about death. And frankly, that's what makes it a good book. Because it's the death of that only begotten Son of the Virgin Mother. He is the one who is led outside of the gates to the place of the skull. All of Scripture culminates in his death. In fact, all of history culminates in his death. There is no more singular important event than what happened on Calvary. He gives himself to the world, dies in the place of all men, so that from death life might come. The drumbeat struck once more, but this time it has a different tone. He goes the way of all men. A sword pierces his mother's heart as he is carried by Joseph and Nicodemus and laid in a grave. And you add to that that this man is God. So if there ever was a victory for death, this would be it. If death can consume God, then we have no chance. And yet in death, there is victory. In death, death is defeated. The Scriptures are about death because they're about the victory of the Son of God who died in our place so that we might have life. Where Noah, Abraham, and David all failed, this man has overcome. Never will death beat its drum again. Never will it conquer man again, because the Lord has died in the place of all. In his death, there is life. In his death, there is a resurrection. For as Jesus stopped death at the city gate of Nain for one man, so outside of the city gates of Jerusalem, he stopped death for all men. And on the third day, he proved it. The dead man got up. The dead man spoke with Mary Magdalene and with all the women, and they were filled with great joy as Jesus gave this young man back to his mother. So now Jesus gives his risen body to his church in Holy Communion. And as he spoke to the women, so he now speaks to you, and you are filled with great joy. He who is dead is alive. He who was crucified is raised. Raised not for himself, but raised for you, so that he might be with you always to the end of the age. Raised for you to prove that your death is really your victory. So yes, that drumbeat continues. We've heard it in our ears, we've felt it in our bodies, and we will continue to until the day he calls us home. We've grieved and we've mourned, but not without hope. For Christ's death has injected hope into our tears. The scriptures are about death because they're about his death, which has turned our deaths into life, a life realized in heaven. Each death points to his. Christ's death is the reason for our hope. Christ's death is the reason that those who die in faith now rest from their labors. The devil tempts them no more. The world assaults them no more. Their own sinful flesh can trouble them no more. They are free. Free to have the life that Christ desired for them. For in death they have gained the victory. Because of Christ's death, there is now life in death. The greatest evil God uses for the greatest good. And what Jesus did for this woman, he will also do for you. As he gave the young man back to his mother, so he will also give your loved one back to you. For at his voice, at his command, your dead loved one will rise. And he or she will speak to you once more. And you will be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And you will be with the Lord forever. And death? Well, Christ will toss death into hell, into that great lake of fire, never to beat its drum again. So the scriptures are a book about death, because in the death of Christ we have life. And in our death, we see that life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.